Welcome to the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kylie Burton. If you have been told that your blood work is normal, yet you feel awful, well, this is the place for you. Because whether you have a diagnosis or not, I'm going to teach you how to turn those normal labs into real answers, healing, and hope. So grab your blood work. Come join me. Here we go.
Welcome to the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kylie Burton. And we're back. We took a hiatus so I can go have a little baby. And now we're back on track. So I brought to you the biggest experts in their fields. And on this call with us today is a plastic surgeon. His expertise is breast implant illness. And that's like all he does now. So Dr. Rob, welcome up. I know as a plastic surgeon, you don't get started in this field. How did you get there?
Sure. I began in plastic surgery really focused on cancer reconstruction. So many forms of cancer require plastic surgery to perform some kind of reconstructive technique to maintain the function of a leg, an arm, the jaw, breast reconstruction, of course. So that was my whole career. And in 2016, I had a patient come to me in Austin who had relocated from Georgia. And they wanted to have their breast reconstruction, which was done with an implant. They wanted it taken down and become flat. From, time to time over the years, I've had requests for that. And I did her workup, her physical examination. Everything was in order. Her laboratory studies were all in order. She did have fatigue. And many patients who've had chemotherapy really present with that commonly. So we see that routinely. We did her case, and for everybody who's listening, so the way I do these cases always is I take all the material out intact. I like to think of it like not breaking the Easter egg approach. So your scar tissue around it and the implant, and then we send that off to pathology, and then we also take a culture, think of like a Q-tip swab, and culture the pocket with which to learn, was there any contamination in the pocket? Because the things we want to know, one, is there any recurrent cancer? We don't want anybody, obviously, with an undiagnosed recurrence. So we always want to look for that. And then we always want to make sure there's no sign of an infection. And you can't just magically see them. Obviously, if they're very bad, we can see them. But when we saw her after surgery at a week, she was doing well, and her pathology, which is the study that looks for recurrence of cancer, all of that was totally negative. She didn't have any recurrent cancer. And then we looked at her results to see if there was any infection from the culture reports. She had an E. coli infection. And when I say that, she had greater than 10 to the 6, which for everybody listening, that's an infection. So I was really taken back by this result and didn't understand how I could have missed this or not seen this or not understood this based on, years of experience and looking at all the data and doing her examination. So this was an occult breast implant infection. So I treated with antibiotics based on the pattern of sensitivity given to me by the report, and all of her fatigue went away. So I believe she is the person that put me on a Facebook group. And then I just started to have patients come to me.
Right, left.
And so because of, being a little bit duped by that experience, I was a little concerned that there are other people that could have infections and or biofilm, because I had known about biofilm for a long period of time working with different surgeons, whether they be orthopedic, neurosurgeons, cardiac surgeons, vascular surgeons, because they all use, because part of their surgical treatments in many instances is using a graft, so a foreign material, to help reconstruct an extremity or a blood vessel or spine repair, or all these different things require these elements to help the patients that they're working with. So of course I knew about these things, but I was like, I didn't know that would be such a something that I could miss. I'll say that.
I mean, being in the alternative functional medicine space, when this came, you said 2016, that's only 10 years ago, not even 10 years ago, 8 years ago. It's becoming very apparent now the last 5 years. What would you say has led to this? Like, if someone's listening and they have breast implants, and they're like in a panic about what it could be doing to their health, we will talk to that person.
Sure. When I have someone coming in, de novo, so if depending on how you get to me, we have a little quiz you can take on my website, drrobertwhitfield.com or breastimplantillnessexpert.com, and that will help characterize some of the symptoms you may be experiencing.
Okay.
And so when someone, say, steps off their curb and twists their ankle will swell up. That's acute inflammation. Your body sends out signals, it swells, and then over time, your body turns off those signals as it begins to heal and repair itself. Now, in chronic inflammation, for the listeners, the signals aren't turned off. So they continue to be sent out. And when you have an underlying infection like the patient I mentioned, or if you have what's called biofilm around a prosthetic device, a knee implant, a hip implant, breast implant, dental implant, a cardiac implant, spinal implant, those signals stay on. And over time, you develop chronic inflammation, which can affect every single system in your body. So you may have neurologic effects. You can have what determined, or I had to be explained by one of my patients with what brain fog was because I didn't really understand it. So to me, it's akin to short-term memory loss, which is obviously a very significant problem. If you can't remember the names of your children, or you can't remember you left the groceries in the car, or you can't remember what you need to do. So those are significant issues. You can have ringing in the ears. You can have light sensitivity and sound sensitivity. You can have development of eosinophilic esophagitis, which just fancy term for you got more inflammation in your GI tract from the top going down towards your stomach. You can get reflux, shortness of breath, chest tightness. You can have muscle pain, joint pain, lots of GI problems, bloating, swelling, distension.
Basically, you can feel like crap, and yet nobody knows what's wrong with you.
Yeah, and you can have lots of fatigue when you have mitochondrial dysfunction. So there's lots of things that go into it. And I can understand from a doctor's perspective, any level of provider, NPPA, ND, acupuncture, you know, holistic provider, I don't care who it is, that's a confusing picture. If that's, you know, there's nobody born with that skill set to understand that. You know, the way I look at it now is I understand genetics of the patient very clearly. They have difficulty with certain detox pathways, plus or minus estrogen toxicity pathway issues and diet, you know, we'll just say water quality, air quality, where they live, what, you know, occupation they may have, what are their exposures. You know, I know that may sound kind of far out, but I see a lot of things on toxicity reports that I'm taken back by and I don't quite understand until I like sit down and I have to go over this with the patient. Like, how did you get this? Or this comes from this herbicide or pesticide, or this comes from, you know, this environmental exposure. Where could they have gotten this? And they may have worked in the military for 10, 15 years, or they may lived in a place where that had to have a lot of spray for the insects around, whatever. There's a thousand things, you know, arsenics in groundwater commonly. So you'll have all these different exposures. And if they don't detox well, and they have that, it just sets up a very bad situation for them.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually talk about infections a lot on this podcast. I do a lot of blood work, and that CBC with differential, when you look at it from a functional medicine viewpoint, you can pull out some low-grade infections on that thing. And so I always talk about, you know, infections are systemic. They can cause wreck havoc on any part of the body, just depending on where your genes are saying, okay, here's the weak point kind of thing. So, all right, their breast implant illness is real. That's basically what we're saying. What do we do?
Well, I developed a program around it based out of what happened in the pandemic. Before the pandemic, I had a great series of providers who would really help me, and they helped teach me about more functional aspects of care, whether it be functional medicine and testing or more specific nutritional aspects. When the pandemic happened, I didn't really have access to them because many of them, like I, couldn't see patients, or they just closed up shop based on you know, what was going on. So we had to take and put that in-house. And so we have functional practitioners on my staff now. So nice. Us, you know, we look at their genetics and we do toxicity testing that's based on urine testing through Bribit Wellness. And then we have an ALCAT 250 for food sensitivities, and we use a GI map to look for, you know, just alterations in the gut microbiome. So we're trying to build out a very clear picture, as well as what are their hormones doing, and then what can they tell us about exposures. You know, I can interview people and they'll basically tell me they lived in a place with black mold. You know, okay, so you have that. You probably have limited detoxability to begin with, and you have implants, and you may not eat great because you don't understand certain things can affect you from a inflammation standpoint, whether it's gluten or specific dairy products or processed foods. Like, all of my patients get put on a gluten-free, dairy-free diet, and I tell them, you have to eliminate processed foods because those are all going to be sources of inflammation.
So you have like a one package that's done right when it comes to surgery. I know I've talked to a couple of different surgeons, and even, and what do you call her, as a health coach that specializes in helping people with plastic surgery, because most of them just go under the table and they don't worry about any of this other stuff. Not only the pre-op, but then the post-op too. And it sounds like you're the full package, so it's done right.
So we feel very strongly that if you're going to recover properly, it starts on the front end. So when we meet someone, we try to clearly get an understanding of how they are, you know, their environment, food they eat, water they drink, air they breathe, and really try to optimize those things. Look at their testing, genetic toxicity, food sensitivity, gut microbiome, hormones, and work on the front end to build a treatment plan that can be executed along with surgery to give them the best version of wellness I can, you know, help them get to. I feel, you know, so strongly about it. We wrote a book about it that'll come out this year about my accelerated recovery program. We're augmenting it in the new year with pharmacodynamic testing through genetics, so we can look at how better to tailor the anesthetic for a patient. Because anesthetics really concern patients. They're worried about not waking up. They're worried about excessive drugs and feeling groggy. So our program is all built around not doing that. So we start preoperatively with a series of medicines the night before, just to reduce the autonomic nervous stimulation, to reduce inflammation, to reduce nausea. So we're pretty aggressive on the front end, so that on the back end, when I'm in surgery and doing things, and I do nerve blocks and the medication lasts for about 5 to 7 days, you know, with the dietary changes, optimization of the protein intake, we use perfect aminos and mass enzymes. So, I mean, we're trying to do things in a very strategic way to help optimize the process.
Sounds like to me, you're probably already doing this, but like, you're getting on stages at surgeon conferences and showing this stuff.
You know,
I'm not open to it yet.
Yeah, I would say that my larger role as it comes into the new year and beyond is I serve a lot of different people. So I want to serve people who don't understand what's going on, like you're helping to elucidate here. So patients who don't know but may have this problem, or a friend, a family member, a loved one, a wife or daughter or sister, aunt. And then patients of other practitioners who don't quite know what's going on, this will help serve them so they better understand it. And then I really want to help the providers. And as I mentioned, you know, providers had a lot of trouble with this, and it's not because they don't want to help you. Nobody gets into providing care who doesn't want to help you. It's the problem is they don't understand the pattern. And so whether you're a, you know, MA, seeing a patient with me, if you're an RN, NP, PA, I have all those on my team. If you're another surgeon, an MD, a DO, a naturopath, acupuncturist, functional nutritionist, functional medicine doctor, I don't care what you do. I want to help serve you by helping you understand what I understand about the problem. And in that vein, everybody will do better. Care will be better. Outcomes will be better. And, you know, surgeons will probably be a little bit down the road because they're probably not quite accepting of it, even though I testified it at the, I testified in 2019 at the FDA hearings about it. I helped fund research about it when I was president of the Aesthetic Education Research Foundation. That's been published now. My series will be published shortly with over 900 consecutive PCR tested samples showing.
Holy smokes, that's a lot of samples.
So I've done over 1,800 explants. So the point being is all these things, you know, they'll come to fruition. The book will come first about just the recovery program, because that I felt strongly that that needed to be done first so people understood our process and maybe could ask and engage. And if they wanted to participate in that, we'll help them. I think in terms of breast implant illness will be the next book I write this year. And it's more to characterize, you know, our initial experience and now what we see and what we've learned and how better to help. We just want to serve everybody the best way we can.
Yeah. So let's get into a few details here, because you've been talking about it, the importance of it. What can somebody do? So say they have breast implants and they're worried about this, but yet they don't want to quite go to the removal route. What can we do to help prevent some of this stuff?
Yeah.
I have to use the word prevention carefully, because prevention is really like, well, just don't do it.
Yeah.
I already got it done.
Yeah. And I'm not here to dissuade somebody, because the last thing to really harp on is you shouldn't do something. Like, we all know that we can't tell people exactly what to do. I just try to help people make better informed decisions. So if you're in that situation where you already have a device in place and you're concerned about what we're discussing in terms of breast implant illness, we have a little quiz you can come and take and to evaluate, you know, symptoms. Anybody can participate basically in our testing program and run it remote. It's set up to be helpful that way. And then we have a detox practitioner who can help. Many people are not ready to take the step of and having surgery, and that's totally fine. There are a couple caveats, I would say. I think people are really aggressive in their own detox and trying to help themselves. What we've been concerned about is people using extreme temperatures and saunas and causing problems with leaching. I was on a show and got in a fair amount of trouble for saying some things about that, and a lot of people asked me about IR sauna. We just have you refrain from that around the time of surgery, about 90 days, so that we give the body sometimes to recover. And basically, if
90 days, that's not just like 24 hours. That's right. Like the time.
We're trying to avoid a Hirsch reaction. So as someone detoxing after surgery, we don't want to make that too rapid and make them ill. We do partner with CellCore for detox. So we try to do things in a very structured manner.
Seen you at their conference?
No, you saw my team. I couldn't go. I gave them a webinar.
Are you going to be in Dallas?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see you there.
So I think we're very process and have the best kind of situation that we can for patients and or providers trying to give this type of care. So everything's set up to be as much data as I can help provide. I'll provide, you know, and we're trying to put that out there for everybody. I try to put out a lot of content that's helpful. I could do a better job with that. It's fairly pretty much challenge, as you know, to put out content. You gotta have a team
you're
for
busy,
that.
Like, you're busy in your office. That's where you should be busy doing your work there, not on social media where people just want things for free.
I want to help so that it's not so complicated. So as we spread the word and people can digest some of the content we have, we make it pretty simple. And I'm on a lot of different, you know, platforms now and shows and things. So I really appreciate it.
One tip they can do.
What you can start to do is cut out gluten in your diet, cut out dairy in your diet, cut out processed foods, cut out sugars, increase your air quality. I have no financial interest in IQ Air, but I feel it's the best filter. And then water quality, everybody can do something with water filtration very simply for themselves.
Yeah, so we just moved into our house a couple of months ago, and that was one of my things. I told my husband, I said, I'll get a plumber over here because I want a filtration system put inside the house, all of our water.
Gotta have it.
Our air, too. We have room units that you can just move around the rooms. We've got a couple of different lows, but I would rather have them in the vents. We have a vent person coming. Like, he's supposed to come, you know, multiple times, but he hasn't showed up yet. So he's coming at some point to clear out the vents. Like, these are simple things that we hear so much about harping on food. Food is important, but the air we breathe and the water we drink, I would bet, is even more important. Because it 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. Like, you breathe, you drink. So just simple things like that can help prevent prostate gland illness. It can help us get healthier. How, besides like testing, is there a specific way to know if you have infections or not?
I don't have a really, perfect, tool for that. And the current, there's obvious things. If you had an ultrasound or a CAT scan or an MRI that showed fluid around an implant, that demands investigation. Okay. If you had a rupture, that demands investigation. And in my opinion, I make sure and counsel those patients, I would have that removed. I don't like anybody to have a ruptured device because it's failed. So if a knee implant was broken, would you leave it in or would you take it out? So if a breast implant is broken, I would say you should take it out. So those are hard and fast rules. If you have severe pain or a capsular contracture, then it needs to be investigated. Those are not normal findings.
Do you ever see them coming up in the CBC? Because like I said, I talk about the CBC with differential a lot. Like, do you see breast implant infections, illnesses specifically in those five markers?
I don't. My patients, a lot of times, are super selective and are already doing a lot to help themselves. So it's far harder than it used to be for me from a laboratory perspective to look at something and have an idea. I rely...
I've done so much pre-work before they even got to you.
Yeah, many of them, most of my patients come from out of state or out of the country now. So they're very aggressive in their self-care. And I appreciate them taking, great care of themselves, but it's more about their functional genetics, their toxicity burden, and, coupled to their hormone balance, gut microbiome health, and food sensitivities. Like, when we fill those pieces out, and we'll add more things depending on what we see or what we're worried about, but those are my base components.
Nice. I want to get into talking about detox, but before we talk about the do's and don'ts of detox, let's do post-op. Mm-hmm. Give me one tip for post-op.
Best anti-inflammatory in the world is ice.
This.
So wherever it hurts, protect the skin and use ice. 30 minutes on, 30 minutes off. Very simple. Even guys can do it.
Yeah, my brother called me like 2 days ago and was like, Kylie, do I need to go on to the ER for my shoulder? I was like, okay, FaceTime me. He'd been playing soccer and got chucked as he was sprinting down, nailed his shoulder, got a huge bruise on his shoulder. I'm like, well, the ER, the only thing they can do is give you pain pills and put it back in place. If it is out of place, I don't think it's out of place. So you might as well throw, pretend it's a sprained ankle. We've done it a million times because you're a runner. Treat it like a sprained ankle, put ice on it, and he was good to go. Like, 2 days later, ice is powerful.
Yeah, it's the best anti-inflammatory. It's cheap, too.
Yes. Okay, do's and don'ts of detox, because you and I could probably get on many rants about this topic.
Yeah, I think what I would say is you have to give yourself, first of all, you have to have the right mindset. Nothing happens moments after surgery. So I just operated on somebody in the recovery room. And if the expectation has been set that they're magically going to be relieved of all their symptoms and feel better, and that's just not reality. So I would appreciate if everybody just give themselves a break. And if you just had surgery and you're in recovery, you're going to have some discomfort. They're going to help that. And then I use Exparel, which is a long acting medication that I inject in the areas where I work. So within 2 to 4 hours, that's all set up. Everything's comfortable. I just saw patients today, operate on yesterday, who are flying home in a few days, and they don't really have pain or need narcotic to manage pain. We manage nerve pain with medication specific to that, and then we have everybody in anti-inflammatory, and then most patients don't have nausea a day or two out, but we have something for that. So when it comes to detox, we wait a bit, because if someone was having more of a reaction from their devices, we don't try to exacerbate that reaction as the body goes through its processes of inflammation after surgery. And that's why we have this 90-day, window. Sometimes our detox practitioner will hop on them hop on a call with them a week to two out to see just how they're doing. And, you know, starting something back is based on that discussion. If people are still kind of limited, not doing great, you don't want to exacerbate that by giving them supplementation that will help them further detox and make them feel even more run down or more tired.
Detoxing, I mean, we both use CellCore. We're both big fans of that company, and especially with their ability to detox and get rid of infections. That's like their big thing. I was very hesitant to jump on CellCore in the beginning. Like, I've been around them for years. I'm just barely starting to use them. Mm-hmm. The reason why is because it is not, I feel, it is not DIY friendly stuff.
No, it's not.
This stuff works.
Yeah.
But it's not something that you should just go about on your own. And when I get a patient that comes in and goes, oh, I've tried every detox under the sun. Exactly. You've tried all the junk detoxes out there that are like DIY, do this for 10 days, 21 days, 30 days. You're really not doing your body much good.
Yeah, I agree. I think I had to partner with a company like CellCore for a couple of reasons. I think depending on your training experience like you have, you know, they really work hard from a safety perspective and from an effectiveness perspective to provide the quality you need to help someone get through those problems with their infections, mold toxicity, et cetera. What I didn't like is people going about what you just said, going on the internet and finding a detox protocol, and then they would call me a month or two later and say they had blue marks on their skin. And I was like, what do you have blue marks on your skin? What are you talking about? Oh, I did this. I went to this person and did chelation. I'm like, okay. And you have blue stuff on your skin. Like, what are you talking about? And then somebody would call me and they like did something on the internet and they got a red swollen breast months after surgery. And I'm like, what did you do? Is, oh, I did this thing off the internet. And so for our patients, there is no unapproved detox protocols. So if you want to work with us, you want to work with us and follow, you know, what we have already shown that works well and that is monitored and can be adjusted with a provider with experience. So we don't want anybody harming themselves because obviously that's nobody wants anybody to have a problem. And even those people are providing detox, you know, I just question, you know, the follow-up and what are they doing? You just don't give people stuff to do on their own because what if they do too much? What if they don't do enough? You know, either way, it's not the scenario you want.
Yeah, there's not, just don't do it one size. Anything that you find on the internet that costs you $97, please. It's $97 worth of a detox or something smaller than that. If you want results, then invest in real results. Let's just say it that way. All right, Dr. Rob, anything else that you commonly get asked that you want to address that we haven't addressed already?
Yeah, I think from our perspective, the people can get a little, I guess there's some things that I did that are a little odd. Like I don't use drains anymore in breast surgery. So I haven't for a long period of time. And
drains,
so
what do you mean?
Surgical drains.
I'm so, not in the surgical world, so I don't even know.
Connected to a bulb that looks like a grenade that drains fluid out of a space in the body. So additionally, it was written or discussed that leaving a drain tube in would help evacuate toxins. And so what we do is we remove the material intact to the best of our ability with the implant and then clean out the pocket with an acidic solution so that we, you know, we're basically changing the pH and sterilizing the pocket. And then we cleanse that and then we'll open the pocket up, especially if I'm doing a removal and fat transfer. So you take fat from one place and you can put it into the fatty compartment above the breast and augment the breast with just fat. So I do that a fair amount. But we just connect all those spaces with the existing breast pocket once we've, you know, went through the process I described. And so you don't need a drain tube. You just gently wrap up the patient's breast area. We just use an ACE wrap And then we put patients in a garment for control of swelling. But really what we're relying on is the most efficient filtration system you have, which is your lymphatic system that then goes to your kidneys that then helps you eliminate fluids. So no drains are needed. No antibiotics are put into the patient after the time of surgery in the form of a prescription that they take by mouth. My patients are all up walking after surgery. They come to the office the next day for hyperbaric oxygen therapy at my office and lymphatic massage at my office and red light therapy at my office. And then they're in Austin. We're taking care of them until they can head back. And some people need more. Some people don't. Average day is 5 to 7 days in Austin. And it's longer. If you're coming from out of the country, we have people stay a couple of weeks.
Nice. I want to go to like your facility and just take a tour. And then it's legit.
A lot of nice equipment and, you know, it's better. You don't have to
go to the giant team. Well, I'll meet you in Dallas this year and we'll talk CellCore and more detoxes then. But tell people where they can go learn more about you.
Right. If you want to follow us on social, go to @breastimplantillnessexpert. And our URL is drrobertwhitfield.com, or our other is breastimplantillnessexpert.com, and on YouTube at breastimplantillnessexpert.
Basically, breast implant illness expert, you'll find him on all the channels. All right. Thank you much, Dr. Rob.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Hey, if you're new here, welcome aboard. If you're coming back, welcome back. I'm coming back as well. In fact, we're going to have new episodes every Wednesday right here on the Beyond the Diagnosis podcast. If you love what you just listened to and love what you've been listening to, I would be honored to have you leave a review. Leave it on the place where you listen to your podcast so that way more people can find this podcast and get answers from their blood work as well. I'm Dr. Kylie, and I'll see you next week.